Hi, Michaela Lafrac here. The podcast you are about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. The author Emma Hunsinger of Norwich is something of an expert at capturing teenage cringe and the sweet moments that sneak their way into that time of life as well. She's a graduate of the Center for Cartoon Studies in White River Junction, and she has a new graphic novel out. It's called How It All Ends. I spoke to her recently by Zoom.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a huge honor to be here.
We're very excited to talk to you. So in your new book, How It All Ends, there's this main character, Tara, and she's selected for this accelerated school program in which she'll skip eighth grade entirely and head directly to ninth grade. So she's diving right into high school as a 13-year-old. How did you come up with this premise, this starting point for your book?
The seed for this idea or this book came from imagination. I thought back into my own memories and I asked myself, when did my imagination really change? And I pinpointed it to around eighth grade, so around that age 13, because I remember when I was in eighth grade, I was still playing with my Lord of the Rings action figures with my brother. And then at 14, that was so over. There was no more action figures. It was just hanging out, right? Not playing. So I decided that it would be really interesting to have the main character not sort of ease from middle school to high school to just make it sort of a jump cut into the adult world of high school. And I decided to do that in 2019. And what is interesting is that this actually became a reality for a lot of children due to the pandemic, where they were in school online for a year. And a lot of kids actually did end up making that jump from being in middle school and then just sort of suddenly appearing in high school, which, you know, you go from being with 10-year-olds, sort of surrounded by 10-year-olds, to being surrounded by legal adults, you know, like high schoolers are different, they're big. So it's pretty jarring. And I really wanted to work with that jarring experience.
And a lot of kids are switching schools at that point too, or switching communities in which their school is.
Right. Yeah, it's going to happen to my son eventually. He's going to jump over to New Hampshire and be with so many more kids from a whole different state.
So Tara finds some things about high school exciting, like getting to eat pizza in the cafeteria. But socially, it's overwhelming in a lot of ways. But there are some people that are on her team that have her back.
I gave Tara, the main character, an older sister, Isla, who is sort of she's an amalgamation of all three of my siblings. I have two younger siblings and an older brother. My older brother is only 17 months older than me. So we were up against each other in high school. And I wanted to give the sisters in this book a dynamic of being best friends, because I feel like a lot of times in middle grade, conflict comes from siblings not getting along anymore. And I didn't want to explore that. I wanted to explore other things. So I made them really close. So they have a pretty sweet relationship where Isla takes care of Tara as she goes through this transition. Another person in Tara's network is Jessup, who gets pulled up from eighth grade to ninth grade with her. And he's the kind of person who's afraid of his own shadow and everything makes him nervous, but they bond over their feelings of being scared. And they have a pretty sweet friendship by the end of the book. And he was a really fun character to write because of how sort of frightened he was of everything. And then the last character in Tara's network is Libby, who is in an English class with Tara that is dominated by a pack of rowdy boys. And this was an experience I had in high school. I had a history class my freshman year that was full of lacrosse boys that were dedicated to tormenting our teacher, Mr. Stevenson.
I think the scientific term is laxbro, right?
Oh, excuse me. Yes. They were the genus Laxbro. And they were coming up with something new to do every day. And it was sort of painful for so many people. And I remember feeling so outnumbered when I was in high school and I was in that class. And I wanted to give Tara, the character, somebody like a lifeboat in that situation. And that's how she meets Libby. And not only are they sort of saving each other from these boys, but they're becoming friends and they're genuinely connecting. And Tara starts to wonder if Libby could be her best friend and gets sort of like in her head about what this friendship could be and what it could mean.
Is that something that you would do in high school?
Yeah, I definitely was obsessed with how do I look as cool as possible every single moment of every single day. I remember one of the things I latched onto was wearing a beanie. I was like, oh, I put it on one day. I did not take it off until June. The beanie stayed on my head the whole year.
No.
And it was like my thing. I wore the beanie and that was the best I could do. That was the only solution I had. How do I keep my friends liking me? I wear a beanie.
Well, it was kind of you to save Tara from the same fate in your book.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't relive it.
Well, your drawing style reminds me a lot of kind of an elevated version of the ways in which people with more artistic talent than me would doodle in their notebooks in school. Was that on purpose, or is that consistent with how you've always approached drawing?
I feel like my drawing style is born from my limitations as an artist. There's just something in my brain where I just kind of can't sit still long enough to actually draw and to like really record what I'm seeing. It's always, for me, the faster I do it, the looser it is, the more cartoony it is, the better it comes out. I was like, this is what I can do, and I want to do it. I don't want to wait until I'm better. So the book is panel-less, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that if there is a square, I can't draw on it. It just looks, I can't get the design aspect of paneled comics right. So I work without panels, because that's how I have to do it in order for it to look good. But whenever I get upset, or not upset, but more worried that my stuff is too cartoony, I think about all of the other cartoonists who've made really profound work with their own cartoony style. Particularly, I go back to Shel Silverstein and The Giving Tree, mm-hmm. right? If you look at The Giving Tree, or any of his work, his drawings are so loose and silly and sort of breezy feeling, but the way he pairs the drawings with the text, he can make something so beautiful by putting the two of them together.
You mentioned trying to draw into the squares of panels and not being able to do it. Is that something that you worked on when you were at the Center for Cartoon Studies in White River Junction? Was there an element of learning the classic skills of making a graphic novel?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened at the Center for Cartoon Studies. In my first year, you make a new comic every week, and there is a distinct point. If you look through all of the comics I made while I was at CCS, you can see where I stopped using panels, and you can see that I never went back. And it was at CCS where I figured it out. I was like, this is not working for me. And what's great about CCS, one of the best parts of it, was the library. So I was making comics in panels. It wasn't looking good. I was really struggling with it. And I was like, well, why don't I go to the library and see if I can investigate other ways of doing it. And there's so many amazing comics and graphic novels in there. And it was really easy to find examples of people making panel-less work and how they set up pages and how they designed things. And it was really inspiring. Julie Delaporte in particular, her work was really helpful to me.
Mm.
Yeah, it was trial by error for sure at CCS.
How did you land on the color palette for this book, for How It All Ends?
As I was writing the book, I realized it would be really helpful to have a distinction between the imagined spaces in the book and reality in the book. So that's when I figured out that red is a really good contrast, or it's a really good contrasty color to put the imagination in. And then naturally, blue sort of complemented it and made it really clear that these are different worlds.
Well, Emma, you are well known for many things, including creating a comic that went viral in The New Yorker, How to Draw a Horse. And you've done many comics that have been published in The New Yorker, which is a dream for people who want to follow in your shoes and be a professional cartoonist or artist. How did that first come about?
Well, I submitted my first cartoon to The New Yorker when I was 12 years old. My dad worked at Condé Nast, and he was like, "You should totally submit. You're the best artist I know." So I made a cartoon. It made no sense. And I gave it to my dad, and we put it in like a big manila envelope, and he sent it through the company's mail system to Bob Mankoff, who was the editor at the time. And I never heard back.
What was the cartoon?
This was the caption: "How the dove got the olive branch." And it was a dove holding a chainsaw and just like an olive branch coming out of white space and a dove chainsawing the olive branch. It was religious. That was a big part of my life at the time. And what's funny is that when I showed it to my dad, he was like, "This is hilarious." He's like, "They're gonna love it." Sort of like,
So
I feel
proud.
like you need to be steeped in religion to get that, or like in Christianity, right? In order to make that connection fast enough that a gag needs you to make a connection. So I'm not surprised I didn't hear back. So after that, when I started submitting again in 2015, 16, they were still having an open submission day where you would go to the New Yorker's office and you would go into this pen with all these other cartoonists, like legendary New Yorker cartoonists. And one by one, you would go and you'd show your cartoons to Emma, the editor. That's how I started doing gags. That's how I formed a relationship with Emma Allen. How to Draw a Horse was a homework assignment from the Center for Cartoon Studies. We were asked to make a nonfiction comic for the web, and it did really well. It really surprised me. I wasn't used to my cartoons getting attention from people outside of my friends and family.
Yeah.
So that was a really wild experience.
Did that shape what eventually became How It All Ends? 'Cause there do seem to be some similarities there.
Yes, because after that piece came out, a lot of people in publishing, specifically children's publishing, were like, "We love this. Could it be longer? Could it be a memoir?" And when I thought back on my childhood, my experience in middle school, I just sort of like sat in front of the computer for hours and hours and hours. I was like, "No memoir. It would be a little dry." So I went back into How to Draw a Horse and I looked through it. And it's like, I can do a crush story easy, but like, what else is interesting about that time in your life? And there's a panel in How to Draw a Horse where I am lying on a couch listening to my Walkman and imagining saving my crush from a fire. And that panel was so painful to like write and draw, but I had to include it. And it was painful because there was so much truth in it, right? It's such a real thing that not only teens do, but everybody does. Framing a crush story in imagination and the start of high school, there was so much to work with. It was really, I was really happy with that choice.
I don't know if it's fun or not to have just finished a project and then be asked about the next one. But do you
Yeah.
already have other projects in the works? What are you hoping comes down the pike for you next?
So I am just about to start a second book. It's still really early, so I don't totally know what it's about. I feel like after I finished inking How It All Ends, 2 weeks before our son was born. My second project was actually our baby. It's sort of the thing I had lined up right after How It All Ends. And now that he's 10 months old and old enough to take care of himself, I can start working on something else. So I'm really excited to get going again, especially because I feel like I was really learning on the job with this book, where I kind of had no idea what I was doing. And Martha, my editor, was so generous walking me through it. And now I'm excited to apply everything I've learned about making a book to making a book.
Well, Emma Hunsier, I really enjoyed your new graphic novel. And thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Michaela. This was really excellent.
And if you want to meet Emma Hunsinger in person, she is doing a reading at a book launch event at Still North Books and Bar in Hanover, New Hampshire, tomorrow, August 6th at 7 p.m. And we'll link to that viral New Yorker piece of hers that we discussed, How to Draw a Horse, on our web post for today's show on vermontpublic.org and in our podcast feed.